issues today.
This should be quality audio.
Yes, for a quality motion picture.
A picture's worth 1,000 words, Dawn.
A lot of words, and a lot of death, apparently.
Ooh, that should have been the tagline
right?
for this movie.
Right? Picture's worth a lot of death.
1,000 deaths. This is I Hate It, Let's Watch It. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dawn.
We watched Polaroid.
And are going to discuss it right now. So
yes.
This was something you watched a while ago, right?
About a year ago. And I took notes on it because I wasn't sure if I was going to add it to our list or if I was going to do a blog post on it. So I'm like, let me just write notes as I go. And it was so funny because Friday I printed my notes and I'm like, well, I have to rewatch it anyway, but let me just print the notes. And I'm reading the notes out of context kind of because like, I don't really remember. And I'm like, these are kind of fucking funny. So I'm like, so the movie's gotta be worth what I put it on the list for. So yeah, we'll find out with your critique.
I thought this movie was fun.
It was fun.
I guess it was not a bad movie necessarily, but there was a lot to roll my eyes about. It's very stereotypical in a lot of ways of the horror movie genre. And, you know, even right out the gate, there's this part where Madeline Pesch, who I did not know was in this movie, and
was
excited to see she was in the movie, and then was very disappointed that she died in the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
But she goes into the attic when there are creepy things happening, and I'm just sitting there shouting at my TV, don't go in the attic, you idiot.
On top of that, we had to have known because they don't know what lights are in this movie.
Oh my God. I said this out loud to Alberto so many times because he watched it with me, and I was like, is there a problem with the electricity in this
town? In the town.
The entire town.
She's sitting on the in her room, I assume her room, with a friend of hers, and they're sitting on the floor and they're going through this old box of stuff that we find out is her mother's old stuff. And you could tell it's nighttime.
Right.
And it's dark, like not even a lamp. I don't even think a lamp was on.
Even
like,
if it was, because there were lamps in this movie, I did note every time there was a light source in a room. And it was always the dimmest lamp you've ever seen in your entire life, set to the very lowest on the dimmer switch. Just barely enough light coming out of it. So if anything was lit, it was not lit adequately. And there's no such thing as a big light in this movie. They're all small lights. This is not a big light people movie.
Right. Unless it was daytime, you weren't seeing anything because it was all
and it did
candle.
Feel like most of this movie took place at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So dark.
So she finds in this box this old Polaroid camera, which was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, it was a weird shape. I mean, I assume you had a Polaroid camera. I had a Polaroid camera.
Oh, I had a Polaroid camera.
Yeah, it did not look like that.
No, this one was cool. But yeah, I'm trying to think of the part or exactly how they come about it. The friend was looking on Instagram at something.
Yes.
And Madeline Pesch's character is like, well, why don't we take like...
Yeah,
she was gonna take like a...
I don't know why they were talking about this, but it had something to do with taking a sexy picture for her boyfriend.
Right.
But I don't know why her friend was involved in this process, because I thought her friend was talking to a guy, but then they took the picture of Madeline Pesch, and so it was like, what is happening here?
And how are we putting that? We're just going to take a picture of a picture to put it on Instagram for a thirst trap? Is that what we were doing?
I don't know, because she wanted it to be just for him. So that's why they took it with the Polaroid camera. So is she going to go like slip it in his mailbox or something? I don't understand. And then once he has it, he could do whatever he wants with it, because presumably this is the 21st century. He could go make copies. He could take a picture of it with his phone and post it. It's not like it's for his eyes only just because you're taking it with a Polaroid camera.
Very true.
But anyway, they take this sexy photo, and I'm really exaggerating my air quotes because it's...
She looks miserable in it.
It's from the top of the chest up. You don't see anything sexy, and she could have just been wearing a tank top, but she's in this like nice little slip, but you get to see none of that.
No.
So I don't know what the point of any of it was. And then her friend leaves.
Very like in a weird like
abruptly?
Bitchy way.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was kind of like, all right, I gotta get out of here. And it's like, all right. And again, still no lights on. She's by herself. Hears noises. And she's like, you know, is anyone there? And it's like, nobody should be there. So don't be asking that question.
And every single home in this town is a haunted 18th century Victorian mansion.
Yes.
I do not see a normal house in this whole movie. I guess maybe Bird's house is kind of normal. But every other place we go looks like it was built for the set of Psycho.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy too, because there's also a this was one of those tropes too, where it's like the friend initially, when they were going through the box, she sees a ball and she throws it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, you don't do that, because you know what's coming back. Right. You know the ball will come back somehow.
Which it does.
And it does.
It like comes out of the attic, I guess. And then that's what prompts her to go up into the attic, which once again, why are we doing this? Where are your parents? Why are you doing any of this? And she climbs up into the attic.
Right.
It's all very slow. And then she sees something ripple in like some plastic sheeting on the wall. And I didn't even really see, because again, this movie is so fucking dark. So I didn't really see anything of what was scaring people. But it scared her so much that she flings herself back out of the little trap door thingy to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did her feet snag on something or did the demon grab her?
Good question. I think... I don't either know, because I feel like painful. She was snagged on something because then the demon, like, cut it.
Okay, see, I couldn't see... Half the time.
Like, brought her back up, I think, brought her back up.
Yeah.
She was hanging.
Yes.
Brings her back up, does something to her, and throws her back down.
We don't get to see any bodies, really, in this movie.
No.
We don't even know what this ghost is doing to these people.
No. And when she drops, she just drops. We don't get a close-up. We don't know if she's bleeding out. We don't know if she broke bones. Nothing. Yeah. She just falls.
Yeah. And we only hear about every death from other people. Like, mm-hmm. the other girl whose head was turned around, and then even, like, Tyler, you get to see the aftermath of the blood and stuff, but you don't actually get to see the violence happening.
No.
I don't know if that was a budget thing or a scare tactic thing, kind of like a Jaws, oh, it's scarier if you can't see it kind of situation.
Well, the only one we do see is at the end, and that one was kind of gross, but...
The split in half one?
Yeah, that was a little nasty.
Yeah, but even then, it really was, it could have been worse.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, like, that's the main one that we actually saw go down.
So we finish this, but we completely abandon this whole thing. We don't hear about Madeline Pesch or her friend ever
we
again.
We don't, and I'm confused about that, because if she had the camera, maybe we should go more, and then I'll go back to that, because we need to introduce other people first.
Okay, so we cut to maybe a different town. We don't really know, and it's school picture day, and our protagonist, Bird, is having her picture taken, and she was named after a Cornish game hen, so A+ naming dad.
Yeah. But
so she wears this yellow scarf all the time, and people call her Scarf Girl because kids can be so cruel.
But mind you, it's winter and there's snow on the ground.
And actually, it was a nice scarf.
Right. Like, it's not like she's wearing this, like, obscene looking thing around her. She's wearing a scarf. Like, and normally wearing it. Like, not like, I don't know. It was just very weird to have that as, like, the go-to thing to make fun of her.
Right. And also, Scarf Girl is just not that insulting, I guess. They could call her Pizza Face or Fatty, you know,
well, like... Well, go with her name. Bird.
Yeah.
Call her something about
bird brain.
Start tweeting at her or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's bizarre. Especially because we never really get much on... the scar that she's covering up, because it's not really apparent initially, but later on it's obvious that she's wearing the scarf to cover the scar on her neck. And I assume it happened during the car accident that killed her dad. Because, like, at some point I was like, we get it, your dad is dead, because they do all of this stuff to let you know that her dad died traumatically.
Right.
So obviously that's what it's about, but it never really
directly addressed, and it's just kind of like at that point you're just going to assume it had to have come from that accident, and but it seemed more of like an ashamed thing than a
she has guilt about it, which we find out later. So it's established that Bird really enjoys photography, And she creepily snaps a photo of her crush, Connor, in the parking lot. And he, like, sees her do it, but is not totally weirded out by it, as somebody should be. But, okay, fine. And then the other lovely, quirky thing about Bird is that she works in an antique store. And
cool job. I would want to do something like
honestly,
that.
Honestly, better than some of the other quirky things I've seen in movies to establish a character as quirky.
Right.
So, I'm okay with it, I guess. But while she's at the store on her shift, her friend Tyler walks in. He's got a box of stuff that he's acquired.
Adorable. I love him.
From ARSL. You know, RIP.
I know, we don't get him that long.
He's a blink and you miss him character.
Yep.
So he gifts her the Polaroid camera that he found at this yard sale. So she's like all excited about it. She knows exactly what it is, and she tests it out by taking his picture. So while they're kind of looking at this camera together, Tyler tries to kiss her. She, like, freaks out about it because I guess it's not mutual. And she makes all kinds of excuses and just scurries the fuck away.
Yeah, runs away. And I felt awful.
So she goes home. I have in my notes because her mom is, I guess, a nurse.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
And she is obviously, I wrote in my notes, she's a single mom who works too hard, loves her kids, and never stops.
Because mom was blinking, you miss her too.
Yes, she picks up another shift. She has to go to work, and Bird's like, come on, mom, you never spend any time with me. She's like, ma'am, she's trying to make a living for you.
Yeah.
And then Bird is messing around with the camera again. And they have
I immediately
a dog.
Was like, do not take a yes! picture of that dog.
I said the same thing. And I was like, please don't take a picture of this dog. And I love the idea that the dog has sensed that there's something wrong with the camera because he's like, don't fucking take my picture. You crazy
He's
bitch.
Backing up yeah. slowly.
Whimpering.
Like, don't
like,
even.
Do not do this. And I'm kind of glad that the movie drew the line at dog violence.
Thank you.
And
yes.
violence because another movie might have gone there. So while she's doing this, her friend Casey walks in. It took me a long time to get Casey's name on the record here.
I'll tell you right now, I can't, except for Connor and Bird, you couldn't give me any other names right
now. I wrote down the names, but honestly, everybody other than Bird and Connor, it took me ages, and I had to go back in my notes and be like, oh, okay, that's this person's name.
Right.
So Casey comes over to convince her to go to a costume party, and it's like, okay, we get it. Bird is antisocial and shy, but she goes to the party with Casey and two other friends who are dating, and this is Devin and Mina.
Okay. Thank
names,
you.
names I could not pin down until at least an hour into the movie. So, again, they go to this party at this house, which is 18th century Victorian mansion. The staircases in this house?
Love them.
Wild.
Love them. But yes, given the time period, if it was supposed to be 2019 when it was filmed, kind of crazy.
And again, lighting is subpar.
Yeah, it's supposed to be dark and ominous. I get it. But also, you need lights.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to see. We need to see what's going on here. So while they're all at the party, Tyler is working 9 to 5 at his antique shop, his uncle's antique shop, working late with all the lights off for some reason.
He's not even working in like a dark room. He's like just in a room with a projector going through pictures.
And why? Because I think there was a note left for him to price all the stuff that he brought in, but like, who's gonna buy somebody's old photo slides?
Right, so, unless he was trying to make sure that the projector thingy was working.
I guess. But while he's going through it, he notices a shadow in the background of the photo. And we should mention that to this point, any picture taken with the Polaroid camera has had this kind of creepy shadow in the background that looks like the Slender Man almost.
Yep.
So he gets confused by this. He's trying to figure it out. He thinks somebody's in there. He tries to, like, attack them with a hammer, but then there's nobody behind the projector screen, so when he turns his back, you can see in the background the screen lifts from the ground with the ghosty underneath, and then Tyler is toast. We don't know what happens to him specifically, but it's not good.
No, it's not. And
he did.
Very sad. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Tyler. So back at the party, Connor finally approaches Bird, and they're having a nice little chat. She shows him the camera. They're, like, just talking, whatever. And then Devin and Mina come up and they're like, oh, take our picture, take our picture. And they're trying to do a selfie on the phone and for some reason can't do it.
Yeah, it was because she even makes like a comment like, oh, your angle's wrong or why are you holding it like that? And I'm like, because there's like five people in this picture, but okay.
Yeah. So Bird's like, let me take it with my Polaroid camera. So she does. And it's the three of them. And then Casey photo bombs at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
So all four of them are in the picture. And as we find out later, five. And then the host of the party, Avery, comes around and she is kind of snotty about Bird's camera. She takes it and she does a little selfie with the Polaroid, which, by the way, very difficult to do. My first selfie ever was a Polaroid camera selfie.
I was going
to
say that it was, and it was pretty good. So she mastered that.
Yeah, mine was not good. I will show you at some point because I have it. I have it around here somewhere. It's not good.
I've tried with just the throwaways. Those come out horrible too. And those you don't find out for quite some time how bad they are.
Yep. And Alberto actually bought a Polaroid camera when he moved here because he kind of wanted to document his first year in New York and stuff. And we've done a lot of selfies and I gotta say, they're not great either. At least the Polaroid cameras now, they come with like a concave mirror on the front.
Oh, okay.
So that you can kind of see and aim. But even with that, I've cut off head, sign, whatever background we were trying to get in. So
it takes major skill. Yeah. It takes major skill.
But I get the impression Avery takes a lot of selfies, so.
Yeah. She's got it down.
So anyway, while they're doing this, the police show up and they think the party's being busted, but it's because they've already found Tyler dead and they're bringing Bird in for questioning. Like, who even called the police?
Right. Like, who found him? Because isn't the well,
it was Tyler's uncle's store, so maybe.
So maybe his uncle found him?
Perhaps. But one thing I find interesting is that the demon ghosty thing, it takes a lot of care to stage the other murders as suicides or accidents. But with Tyler, he's like, nah, whatever. We're sending a message.
Yeah, he was murdered. Yeah, he was murdered.
Murdered. This is where in my notes I have, is there a problem with the electricity in this town? Because your favorite trope, they're at the police station. Not only
is it
fucking dark, but there's nobody there. And I don't know how small this town is, but there's not another person in this police station.
As far as we know, there's only two cops, too.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Approximately,
tops.
Yeah, a police force of three. So the police question her about her last encounter with Tyler, and obviously she knows nothing. And then we cut back to Avery, who is now alone in her dark, unlit house.
She has, like, skeletons, which is kind of my trope.
Sure, because it was a Halloween party, I guess.
Yeah, and she had, like, skeletons and stuff that were, like, spooking her out. But again, if you had a light on, they probably wouldn't have.
Right? And she kind of makes a comment because there's a light that's hanging really low. And she's
that
like,
knocks her out at
oh,
some
it does.
Point.
Yeah, it does later. And she's like, oh my God, people are animals. And at first I thought she meant somebody broke this light and that's why it's so dark in here. But then she walks into another room and there is a very dimly lit lamp in the background.
I like, actually oh, wrote, no, I'm okay. like, finally a lamp.
Yeah, I was but like, it's so dim. It does nothing to light the room. And then she goes down into the basement where there are no lights whatsoever. And I don't even know what she's doing down there. But again, this looks like a historical mansion that has not been touched in 100 years. Mm-hmm. And there's just all this weird, dusty furniture around. And while she's down there, she hears footsteps upstairs. So she goes back upstairs. Again, sees something that spooks her, and I did not see it. I have no idea what she saw.
Yeah, it was very difficult to, I mean, obviously shadow-like.
Yes.
But at the same time, depending on when you watch it. I think the first time I watched it was nighttime, but today I watched it again during the day. So it was very difficult to catch those scenes for sure.
Yes. So it startles her. She turns and runs and she's running through the house. This is when she just runs straight into that low hanging lamp.
Oh, there's that light.
It takes her the fuck out.
It does. It was literally, it was kind of like a comedic.
Yes, it made a really loud clanging.
Mm-hmm. And she just goes down for the count and then it just starts swinging.
Yeah. And then while she's kind of recollecting herself, the demon, I don't know what to call this thing. I've been called, in my notes, I called it a demon. I guess it's kind
it
of
could
a,
be.
It's a ghost demon, a photo demon. I don't
a
know.
A photo demon. Later, I'll bring up what I want to call it, kind of. Or
oh, what. Okay. So it comes and it just, it grabs her by the face and it's got the, these really fun blue fingers. And again, we don't really get to see the rest of it, but we hear the next day in school from Casey that Avery is also dead. She fell down the stairs and her parents found her and her head was turned all the way around like The Exorcist.
Which I didn't know a fall down the stairs could do that.
Yeah, I know. Like, nobody is suspicious about that. Okay. Yeah. So it just really tickled me that the ghost took the time to stage these scenes to make it look like an accident. Like, so funny. As though, like, it's trying not to get caught. As though it thinks that somebody is going to figure it out and report them to the police and they'll be caught.
Right.
What are you thinking?
Like, nobody's finding you. Yeah, you're nobody, only coming nobody, out to the people.
Do this.
Yeah, no.
So Bird very quickly puts together that there's something going on between the shadowy presence in the photo and the way that people have been dying. She very quickly puts it together that there's something wrong with these photos.
I also find it funny that anybody that looks at the photos thinks it's a smudge. Like, it's not a smudge.
Yeah, no.
It's a very direct looking outline of a person.
It looked better in some photos than others. There were some where I was like, okay, I kind of see a dark smudgy thing back there. But in other photos, it was so clear that it was a human form.
It could have been that the move, like pre-movement, because we find out.
We find out it's moving pictures.
It's, but it's hopping. It's picture hopping.
It's picture hopping. Well, I'm going to take a vacation to that Polaroid over there.
Right.
That one's in the sun. But I think I didn't, when they said that, I was like, oh, I feel a little bit better now because I feel like I wasn't seeing it in other pictures. And now I don't know where I was supposed to see it and where I wasn't supposed to, but whatever. So she goes home and she throws the camera at the wall, which actually I thought was good because in most movies, I feel like it doesn't occur to people to destroy the object right away.
Correct.
And I appreciate that she tried. It does end up creating some kind of sonic pulse in the room, and the camera ends up completely undamaged. But I appreciate that she made the effort.
She did catch on rather quickly. And it takes usually people way longer. I mean, and when I say she caught on quickly, she already knows that the people, whoever's in the picture or whoever the picture was taken of, are in danger. You're toast.
You're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So when she goes to school, she tries to convince all of her friends that the shadow in the Polaroids is an issue. And they're totally dismissive. And Devin is such a dickwad for the next half hour of the movie. He really hates on this whole theory. Even though he tries to burn the picture, and then as the flame is, like, creeping up the side of the photo, Mina's arm bursts into flames in real life.
Yeah, so basically whatever you do to the picture will happen.
It's a voodoo picture.
Yeah, it's a voodoo. It's a very
it's
mystical.
It's a poodoo.
Oh, it's a poodoo.
It's a poodoo.
Ah.
But the thing is, nobody thinks to put the photo out. They just try to spray this girl down with a fire extinguisher.
Right, so as the flame is moving from person to person, then what is it, Casey? Casey starts, her hand starts to fucking go with, like, and you're like, okay, and then somebody, I think, was it Bird finally
it was
decides
Bird.
To put it
yeah.
out? Yeah.
Yeah, because Connor runs and gets a fire extinguisher and is just trying to put out the flames on the person. And it's like, no, put out the flame on the photo, on the poodoo card. And it does stop the burning. However, Mina needs to go to the hospital because she was burned very severely. So then Bird and Connor go back to the antique store to find the case that the camera came in because they're basically just looking for any clues they can find.
Like, where the hell this thing came from.
Right. She has to break in because I guess it's still an active crime scene.
Yeah.
Connor waits in the car. And
but this is where he discovers, though. He's looking at the picture of the five of them that did miraculously completely go back to normal after.
Yes, it regenerates.
It regenerates. And he notices that bird's reflection from taking the picture is in the picture, so she's the fifth person in the picture. Yeah. So she is...
That feels weak.
A danger girl. I mean, it is.
But okay.
Sure. So he immediately, I think, realizes she's in there. That's where Tyler died. I gotta kind of get in there. And while he's figuring all this out, she is in there and starts to get chased by this entity.
Yes. Again, I do not know what she saw, but she saw something that freaked her out.
Yep, no lights. Remember, she did this, no lights.
And she starts, I mean, this I get because she was breaking and entering, so maybe she was trying to be discreet. However, it also just fits the electricity budget of the film. Yeah.
Like, we never see a person put a hand to a light switch once, do we?
We do, but it's in the dark room when she turns on, like, the infrared light.
So it's not even a real light. It's not even a real light. Fair enough. That's my point is made.
Wait, and then also, oh, shit, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, it was so good. Fuck. Oh, I'm so mad. I lost it.
It had to have been about lights.
I know, it had to. It's gone. It's gone. No. We're just going to have to move on. So she's backing away from this thing. She kind of falls. And then there's like a radiator on the wall that is issuing steam. And when the demon kind of reaches for her, it pulls back when its hand goes through the steam. So in my notes, I'm like, it doesn't like steam. And it kind of reminded me of Signs, where right. The aliens don't like water.
Yeah. So I thought it was any type of heat source.
Yes. Eventually, she's like, well, this thing probably behaves like a photo and it's sensitive to light. And oh, I remember what I was going to say. Nobody uses their flashlight on their phone at any point. Nobody has their phone and nobody's using it as a source of light. They're just going around totally blind.
Maybe it's a rule in the town.
No, like, lights.
You get fined if you use your flashlight on your phone or something. Like, something has to be up.
Oh, it's like The Descent. Those creatures that evolve in the caves are blind. Yes. Because it's so dark that they don't need to see. So maybe everybody in this town is blind.
That's the that's what we get out of this whole film.
Either that or they're all photos.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so she manages to get out without getting caught by the beastie, but she has to abandon her scarf because it gets caught in the window.
That was getting me a little, like, that whole choking thing. I don't like that. I was kind of like, well, if there's any moral to the story, don't wear hanging clothing.
No capes.
No cape.
I was waiting for her head to fall off. Do you remember that story that they used to tell us?
Yes.
Like, campfire story.
The green ribbon.
Yeah. I thought it was a yellow ribbon. But I guess it could have been green.
Could have been green.
I don't think the color mattered, but basically it was holding a girl's head on. So.
Yes. Yep.
I was just waiting for her head to fall off. So, what's his face? Connor breaks the news to her that she's in the photo, and she's just like, well, whatever. I guess we're all in this fucking boat now. So, she calls Mina in the hospital and is like, this thing is after us. Don't be alone. And it's great because Devin has just left her alone in the hospital room.
Oh, in another hospital where there are no people.
What in the Riverdale is this hospital?
And the way I wrote it in my notes, I feel like I recently said it in another episode.
I mean, you did.
Say it all the time.
Yes.
But it's to the point where they just can't afford to, you know, have people working
that
at the hospital.
And the police station, too. I said, what in the Riverdale is this jail cell? Because later they have that conversation with Devin, like, through an intercom while he's in this cell.
Uh-huh.
So stupid. So anyway, Devin went to go get a nurse for some reason, and he just lets himself into a closet that's at the nurse's station because it's unattended, but whatever. So he goes back to the room, and Mina's gone. He follows the trail of blood behind the curtain that killed her. And again, we don't get to see anything about her death, but the ghost stages it to look like she hung herself.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what happens next. My next note is the backstory about the dad. We finally get
Yeah, because that's what happens, because they end up getting to the hospital, and Devin blames Bird, obviously.
Of course, because he's a dickwad.
Yeah, and he's
like she could have known. And also, she's in the picture, so her life is in danger.
Right. And he blames her while still not taking it seriously, so it's kind of like, he's not going to listen to that. Yeah. So because of this, she's obviously upset, and Connor goes to help her and just kind of comfort her. And that's she's when she tells guilt. The story about the dad.
This is not what I thought it was going to be.
No, I thought it'd be a little more, I don't know.
I kind gross. Of expected it to be related to what was going on in some way.
Mm.
At least more directly. I mean, it's related through the guilt, but I don't know. I kind of thought that maybe his death was actually caused by the Polaroid ghost somehow.
Well, later on, I thought he was involved in something else.
Oh, well, yes. I thought that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought we were watching a more interesting movie than what we were watching.
Again, could have wrote it better.
We fall into that trap all the time.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, basically, her dad was driving to a sleepover, and he wanted to take a detour to show her something he was working on, and she was like, I don't want to go. I don't give a shit about what you do for a living. And then he turned the car around, and they got into a car accident, and he died. So, she blames herself for it.
Cut and dry story.
Yeah. Inconsequential, essentially.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they go through the case that the camera came in, and now they find a little evidence tag in there that this camera was once part of a homicide investigation in 1974. Yep. So what do? They go to Riverdale Library and search for homicides in the newspaper clippings from 1974.
Surprisingly, they don't have a microfiche, which I found
I thought that they were going to. But that would be too much light. It would be too much light.
That's true. Too much electricity being used. We're going to go to the basement and take physical newspapers out of boxes.
This is a Bughead investigation if I've ever seen one. So they find a story about three teenagers who were abducted and murdered by their high school photography teacher, Roland Joseph Sable, which are the initials that are on the camera. So they find out he took pictures of the victims with the camera, and he was shot by the police and killed before he could be taken into custody. So they meet up with Casey in a diner to tell her all of this information.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you I'm now just raving mad about there not being any lights, there were no lights on in this diner. It was egregious. This is a place where there should be lights, and there were none. And I'm just losing my shit about it.
It is, because it's more frustrating that it's a public place. All the public places. Like, it's one thing if yes. you're home, you don't want to put lights on because you're being cheap. Fine.
Yeah.
But public places that serve the public don't have lights.
No.
No.
So they start kind of talking about how they could potentially defeat this ghost. And they're talking about the steam and the heat, yada, yada. And Bird says something like, well, it probably can only fully develop in the dark. And then I'm like, well, then you're all in fucking danger because this whole town is dark. No wonder this ghost is thriving here.
Yeah. Where
there's no electricity. So Devin wants to summon the demon with the camera. And Connor tries to wrestle it away from him, but it ends up taking a photo. And the photo is of Devin. And so now he is fucking pissed because the shadow moves into his picture. So he's right, gonna be next.
Well, now they do realize, well, Bird does realize that it does the photo hopping.
Right.
So once it kills the person, it goes to the next photo.
Right. It seems to have some kind of an order, but it's unclear because there were multiple people in that first picture and he went for Mina first, and I don't really know why.
I think just like
geographically.
Well, left to right. She was the first one on the left.
Yeah, I guess so. But then wasn't, what's his name?
It was either Devin or Casey, right? Is that her name? Am I saying it right?
Which one?
Who's the friend?
Casey photobombed.
Yes. Okay. So they are kind of like in line. So it could be either one of them next.
Yeah.
Then it would have been if you're going geographically.
See, I don't know. I don't know if you can do this because they're all on like different, and especially then like, what do you do with Bird, who's like all the way
well
in
Bird's
the
before technically Connor because sure. Connor's kind of spaced a little bit from the rest of them, so there's a little space, and that's the only reason you could see her reflection in the window, because he's not right next to them.
Well, I think the ghost has to go off book at some point because
well he does I think once
yeah, well, because now he's got a new picture.
They screwed all up, yeah.
A new picture of Devin. And so now Devin is so angry that he tries to take a photo of Bird to shift the order. And Casey, like, is freaking out. So she ends up stabbing the photo of Devin with a pencil. And she stabs through his hand because he's kind of holding his hand out to block the picture from being taken. And he ends up having a real life wound. So once again, we have the poodoo magic working for us. And he freaks out. But a police officer, one of the three police officers in town, happens to be in the diner and like kind of grabs his shoulder to settle him down. And he just whirls around and punches him in the face.
Yep.
So now Devin's in jail, Riverdale jail. And Connor and Bird try to tell the police what they've discovered. And shockingly don't get very far.
No. And he shoots it down right away. He's like, don't you dare go to that house and try to...
Don't harass anybody who lives there, because they know where Roland Sable used to live, but there's a woman living there with a different last name now. So he's like, don't go and harass her. Don't do this. Don't do that. I will arrest all of you. Mm-hmm. So what do? They do exactly what he tells them not to do, because Casey calls from the library, where I guess she's been going through marriage records and name change records and all kinds of, I guess, public domain documents, but that are super easy to access with no time at all.
Yeah.
Because she figures out that the woman who is still living in Sable's house is actually his wife, but she just changed her last name. So they go to check it out. Roland's wife, whose name I don't remember, Anna, I think.
I just called her Mrs. Sable.
Mrs. Sable, so formal. She tells them a very different story of their daughter, Rebecca Jane, whose initials are actually on the camera. The camera belonged to Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And she tells this story about how Rebecca, being obsessed with her camera, she was a little slow, she wasn't good at making friends, she got teased a lot, and then some kids tricked her into going out one night, and she brought her camera along, and I guess they got her drunk or did something that put her in a compromising position, and then they took pictures of it, and then they circulated those pictures around, and she was so embarrassed that she committed suicide. And then Roland was so upset by this that he vowed to hunt down all of the kids responsible for that and make them pay. But he couldn't finish what he started because there were only three kids murdered and one of them got away.
Yep.
So Mrs. Sable has a Polaroid of the kid who got away. So they take that and they scurry back to the school to pull
another breaking and entering another scenario.
So again, they don't turn on any lights. So
they don't need the lights on. Dark.
They don't bring a flash. Oh, they do have a flashlight sometimes, which I always thought, why doesn't that bother the ghost? I don't know.
It's not hot enough.
Thankfully, the school keeps all of their yearbooks on file in the main office. So they're able to go all the way back to 1974 and get through the yearbook to find who is this missing person, and it's Sheriff Pembroke. This guy.
I thought it was going to be her dad.
I also thought that. I thought it was
that would be a great tie-in, but
somebody related to somebody in there, at least. Like, they would have to sacrifice the child or something. I don't know. Something more interesting than it being the sheriff. But what do you know? Sheriff Pembroke turns up at the school and catches them all trespassing. And then Bird is kind of confronts him with his past. And she's going to take a picture of him, but she can't do it. So Connor ends up doing it. And the sheriff is like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is not what happened. Roland was actually sexually abusing his daughter. He took the photos of her.
We were her friends.
Yeah, we were her friends. We were trying to get her out of this situation, and he killed all of us for trying to do that.
And then he also said, like, timeline-wise, that she had committed suicide before. Or no.
They she were committed killed suicide before. After the murders.
Right.
Instead of before, which would have corroborated the mother's story, but did not. So, whoopsie.
Yeah.
This is a cautionary tale, everyone, of convicting somebody before they have a chance to go to trial. So the demon shows up and picks up the sheriff's photo off the ground. And this is the most graphic murder that we get to see. And he kind of just rips it down the middle.
Which is difficult for a Polaroid.
Yes. Yes. Those are notoriously difficult to damage.
You need to use a scissor on those bad boys.
Yeah. You definitely do. And then even then, I was always nervous that, like, there would be, like, liquid in it.
Thank you. Okay. Because I always felt like, how does it develop? There's got to be something in the middle.
There's got to be some goo.
And then there were times I would just cut them anyway because I wanted to know what was inside. And I'd like open it up like I was some fucking scientist.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh no, it's just layers of
Where's stuff. The Polaroid goo?
Where's the goo?
There's got to be something in here. There's a lot of goo inside Sheriff Pembroke because he gets ripped in half and all his insides go everywhere. So that is the end of him. And I feel bad about that because
after that story, I was kind of like, fuck, man, that's something that traumatizes you for the rest of your life.
Seriously, so, he's just trying to do the right thing. And these kids, they thought that they knew better than him. It's just sad. So the demon turns on Casey and stabs her in the leg. So Bird helps Casey go running off in one direction and Connor goes in another. The two girls, they dead end in a shower. And so they turn on the hot water to test the steam theory, which once again works out for them.
Yeah.
So then Bird goes to find Connor. They go back to get the camera and the demon grabs Connor. So then Bird takes a picture of herself to kind of up herself in the order of killing.
Which I don't understand because...
Well, I guess maybe he had to skip over Casey because he couldn't get to her.
So he just skips over then? That's what I don't understand. Because...
I guess.
Like, she can't stay there forever.
Yes, she can. Well, the hot water would run out eventually.
Right. And then if he was going after Connor
mm-hmm.
and Bird takes a picture of herself, he had Connor.
Right.
So why would he just skip? Connor? Yes. Yeah. Why skip over and go right to Bird then?
I don't know. I don't know the rules. I don't know the lore of the photo monster. The lore was dicey in this movie. It didn't fully explain.
Clearly, because I'm a little confused by that, because you're going by an order, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't have to go by that anymore.
I don't know. We also kind of glazed over. Devin gets got at the police station, and his death sounded juicy, but we don't get to see it.
We don't get to see it.
So it's almost like it didn't happen. But anyway, so Bird's got a plan. She takes this photo so that the demon will come after her. It leaves Connor and does go after her. She runs down. At first I was like, in the basement? But it turns out to be the dark room, which is where Roland murdered these students
mm-hmm.
all those years ago. So while she's down there, she's like trying to hide from it, but she also needs the camera to finish her plan. So she's going for the camera. The demon grabs her by the neck and lifts her off the ground, but she's got the camera in her hand. She takes a picture of it, and it's like startled. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this when you were looking up any interesting tidbits about the movie,
But
I saw this on IMDb. Apparently, this make and model Polaroid camera did not have a flash. So
yes, I did read that.
So all the sounds of like the flash powering up, and even if there was like a bulb popping sound, like that is not not a thing that would have happened with this camera. So she takes this picture, and then now she has the picture, and unfortunately, she got like some of her finger in it.
Yep. Oh, not
so
good.
Her plan is to crumple this picture and crush the demon, which works, but she also breaks her own fingers in the process.
Oh, that creeped me out a little bit.
And even the demon was all like crunched up and like in awkward positions, and I didn't love that.
But then, like any piece of paper, it uncrumples.
Yeah, because it's hard to crumple a Polaroid picture permanently.
Right, just like ripping it hands.
Correct. So she has to come up with another way. And so she has a lighter conveniently and lights it on fire. So once again, she is not only burning the demon, but she's burning her own fingers instead. But fortunately, the demon explodes into little like firework sparklers.
Yep.
And her fingers are fine. I think she should be missing some fingers.
Yeah. Or they should at least be like really burned, like charred looking.
Yeah. No, she's fine.
Yeah.
So, demon vanquished. She reunites with Connor and Casey. They look at the photo. Shadow's gone. Everybody's fine. Connor's like, you need to go to the hospital. She's like, I gotta do something first. And the last scene in the movie, she goes down to some body of water and throws the camera into the water.
Now, that made me think of Jumanji, because
yes,
that can wash up and another hapless soul can get that fucking camera.
Yeah, but theoretically, the demon is done. Like, it's gone. The spell is broken.
The spell is... The clock strike 12. Yes. Here's where I thought the demon was Roland.
It is.
Oh, so why aren't we just calling it Roland now?
I don't know. Because in my notes, I called it the demon the whole demon. Time. I don't know.
That's fair.
Because it's, I don't know. I feel like it's important to establish, like, he didn't survive or anything. He's not, like, an actual corporeal man. He's a ghost voodoo demon.
Right. A poodoo.
A poodoo.
Yeah, so that's really how it ends.
A little anticlimactic.
Does the city get their lights back?
That's really the most important question. I hope this brought attention to a major structural municipal problem in the city.
My other question is back to the beginning with Madeline Pesch. Mm-hmm. When she's going through it and she's like, oh, it's a box of my mom's stuff.
Right.
And the friend picks out the Polaroid of the mom. Mm-hmm. Clearly the mom died after taking that selfie of herself.
Right.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Now, where did she get the camera from? Is she related to the Sables? We don't get names, I'm guessing, right?
I think so. But I'm guessing that it doesn't really matter because it never comes up again. And I guess the fact that it ends up in an antique store leads me to believe that it could have just been resold, gotten rid of, whatever. Yeah. It's weird that it was once evidence in a murder, in a homicide investigation. Like, usually they don't re-release evidence like that back into the public.
That's true.
So that's kind of strange. I forgot about that
because I'm like, it had to then go from there to Madeline Pesch's mom.
They auction off, like, valuable stuff like cars and things like that. But I don't know if they would auction off a Polaroid camera and repurpose it or allow people to have it. I don't really know much about that, but it just seems a little bit weird that something involved in a homicide investigation would.
And they didn't do a good job of, like, hiding the ticket. Like, they pulled it out.
Like, a little.
I just cut it off.
Yeah. I don't know if that was supposed, like, I don't know if the person who put it there was trying to hide it or if it just ended up there somehow.
Right.
I don't know. But a more interesting movie might have explored that.
Yeah.
The history of the custody chain of the camera.
Yeah, you're right. Because the way the demon, a.k.a. Roland, was making all this shit look like suicides. Like, nobody would have suspected this camera.
No, because why would you suspect a camera?
But it took a girl who likes to take pictures to figure it out?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I don't even know if all the other murders were staged, and we don't know how many people it's killed. It could have killed more people than just the Madeline Pesch's mom before it got to these.
That's what I'm saying. Kids. And then it's, oh, I don't know.
But nobody's connecting the threads because, like, why would you assume that a Polaroid camera is behind all these murders? And I guess maybe if you noticed that there was a creepy shadow lurking in the background.
Yeah. Madeline Pesch would have been on top of it if she hadn't died.
Would she?
Well, she saw it in her picture before she died. She noticed that it was behind her in the picture. And then looks behind her as if she's in a mirror, which I found funny.
Right, but then still goes into the attic to investigate creepy sounds and stuff.
Without a light.
If I already had creepy vibes about the picture I had just taken, if I thought that it looked like somebody was standing behind me in the dark,
I would have just ran out of the house.
You better fucking believe I'd be running out of that house to somewhere.
Because at least there's streetlights.
Are there? Do we have confirmation?
Because I felt like the only light we had was coming from outside.
Perhaps, and daylight. It had to be
natural and daylight.
Because when they go to see Mrs. Sable, she leads them around the house with an oil lamp.
Yes, she does.
Like, what the fuck is that?
And nobody addresses it. I think that's the best part. Like, it's never addressed.
Do you think Roland goes to visit her as a poodoo ghost? Do you think he goes to, like, hang out with her? Because she was kind of in on the whole thing. She knew.
Right, she vouched for it. Well, she...
She knew and she intentionally misled the kids about it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Roland just, like, comes by for Sunday dinner or something? And, like, she turns off all the lights and they have, like,
You're safe here.
A Demi Moore, Patrick Swayze pottery molding class.
This will always be your home. You'll always feel safe here. God. Yeah, there were just some things, like, And I hate that there was no trivia about the lighting situation.
No, I would love for that to be something like all the electricity in the town was down for some random reason during filming, and so they just made it part of the plot.
Like, that is insane.
Yeah, crazy.
Because then that would mean that Roland was in control of the town somehow. through a camera.
Who's blowing all the fuses.
Right?
Just throwing in.
Like, I can only survive if it's cold and dark. But yeah, you're right. It just kind of ended on a, all right, I guess
it's over.
I guess it's done. Yeah.
People died. Sorry about that. I feel like if maybe they had gone back to the gravesite of the daughter and maybe tied it back to an emotional core, or even if she had gone to the gravesite of her dad, I feel like they tried to make that backstory inform her character, but then we don't really get to see her resolve those feelings.
No.
So I think maybe that's what feels like it's missing at the end here. We don't really feel like she has conquered that struggle of hers.
That makes sense. I did get one piece of trivia that I found funny.
Oh, okay.
Bird was also the name of the character in the Goosebumps book, Say Cheese and Die, that has the same type of plot.
Oh, this is what I needed to say. There was an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
With this exact premise.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you that my sister was scarred for life by this episode, she will tell you to this day, if she watched it again, she would have sleepless nights. And, you know, I don't pretend to be not a wimp, but my sister is 10 times worse than I am.
Oh my God.
But this story scared the fucking
No, but there were some of those episodes that were definitely...
They were spooky.
They were spooky.
I mean, they were supposed to be, but as little weenies, you know, we definitely had them hit harder than most kids, but I will never forget that episode. That's almost why I picked this movie, because I was like, oh, this is like a grown-up version of that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? A good little throwback for us.
It was. And again, it wasn't the worst thing.
No.
But it
No,
did.
We've seen sloppier movies for
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
This tried. This made an effort. It didn't get all the way there.
No.
And I thought that all the acting was pretty good.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't as corny as it could have been, I think.
No, and I found the actress who played Bird very endearing.
Yes.
I really liked her, even when she was being stupid.
Yes. Like, she didn't have that whininess about her that most protagonists have, where mm-hmm. you're kind of like, okay, shut up, like, enough, get over right. yourself. Or, like, yeah, you knew she was upset about her dad, but she didn't, like, really, like, harp on that, where you're like, okay, enough already. Like, it was just like, yeah, she was in the moment, I should say. She was in the moment, and...
There was something very real about her that I liked a lot. And I looked at her IMDb, and I was surprised that I haven't really seen her in other things. She hasn't done too much with her career yet.
No, she kind of looks like the chick though that was in Slacks, the main chick in Slacks.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember. Blocked
Doubt it
out.
Was her though, but
no, it wasn't. I would have noticed that on her rap sheet.
And even like, again, everybody else was kind of no name.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a great job. They weren't corny or anything. So that was refreshing.
It was fine
given past things we've seen.
Yeah. We've seen lots of all-star casts that really disappointed us, so.
Yeah.
So you never know what you're going to get.
No. But, yeah, so that was Polaroid. And next week we have a little more of a lighthearted sitch. We'll be doing the new Lindsay Lohan, Irish Wish. That's hard to say.
Yeah,
Irish Wish. Irish Wish. Irish. Yeah, I'm not going to say it again.
Irish Wish.
You could read it yourself. But that'll be next week. And then we're going to go Balls to the Wall Massacre again. And it's the Bunny Man Massacre after that. Which, I'll be honest, I watched the trailer of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks fucking gross.
Oh, good.
Like, it definitely, it's about its gore and not its dialogue type of situation. Like, we're gonna,
Great.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
My favorite.
I know, it is your favorite. And as
I
I'm like-
I did pick it.
You did pick it.
I mean, you suggested it, but I agreed to it, so I guess I can only blame myself.
We'll blame each other equally, it's fine.
I do like to do that.
I know. But, yeah, so you know where to find us. And for all of our, any news or updates, Twitter, Instagram, the website. And is there anything you'd like to add?
Happy Pi Day, y'all.
Oh my gosh, it is Pi Day.
I love pie. Pie is my favorite dessert.
I don't like pie, but...
Oh my God, you and Alberto, what is wrong with you people?
I appreciate pie. Pi Day.
Him and also my friend Jess's husband, Corey, he doesn't like warm fruit.
Me neither. No, don't put fruit. Like, last night at my aunt's birthday, they pass around the cake and everyone's, like, all excited. Like, oh, yay, cake, whatever. And it, like, comes around and it's, like, there's fucking strawberries in it. Like, I don't want fruit in my sugary icing dessert. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want
that. I don't. I love strawberry shortcake.
Oh, God. Don't
just. Oh, my God.
I literally only ate the top part with the frosting and a little bit of cake. And then that was it.
This is upsetting. I can't believe I surround myself with so much negativity with people.
But yeah, forget it. Warm fruit? Like, no. Well,
apple pie is literally the best thing that's ever been invented.
I'll have other kinds of pies. Like, I'll have, like, pecan pie.
Pumpkin pie?
That's all right. Pecan pie is good.
Key lime pie?
No.
Love a good key lime pie.
But yeah, definitely just leave the fruits out of it for me.
This is upsetting. I need to reevaluate some friendships I have.
Well, until next time.